Not that it's your favorite chapter, but I'm serious. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 1. And I want you to follow along as I read aloud. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. All right, 1 Chronicles beginning in verse 1. I'm actually going to read down to verse number 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Adam, Sheth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, Madai, Javan, and Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Rephath, and Togarmah. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. The sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raamah, and Saptica. And the sons of Raamah, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush began Nimrod, he began to be a mighty upon the earth. And Mizraim begat Ludim, and Anamim, and Lahabim, and Naphtalim. And Pethrusim, and Casulim, of whom came the Philistines. And Kaphthorim and Canaan begat Zidon, his firstborn, and Heth. The Jebusite also, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. The sons of Shem, Elam and Asher, Arphaxad and Lud, and Aram and Uz and Hul, and Gether and Meshach. And Arphaxad begat Shelah, and Shelah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons, the name of the one was Peleg, because in his day the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almodad, and Shelith, and Hazarmaveth, and Jera, Hadoram also, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Ebal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Now, if I've accomplished what I want to at this point, you're saying, what in the world is the preacher going to get out of that? And you understand, and the reason I'm preaching this, I'm in 1 Chronicles 29 in my daily Bible reading, and so I read through this a little while ago, and these verses just jumped out at me. Not because I wanted a test in linguistics, or pronunciation, or pronunciation? All right? I don't even know how to pronounce right, all right? I didn't do it so I could say all those names, but everything in Scripture is there for a reason. There's no wasted space. When I was in high school in ninth grade, we'd have a substitute teacher. Mr. Gregory was my English grammar teacher, and if he wasn't there, the substitute, every time when he wasn't there, would just write a sentence on the board, and we had to write a paragraph about that sentence with a minimum number of words about it. Well, ninth grade, you know, you're not mentally functioning. You know, all your brain cells aren't working right. So I would start writing a sentence and then run out of words, and so then I'd just start making up words and filling in, just putting all that. And he never read it anyways. You know, he just looked at his helmet and said, well, sure enough, he read it one time. And he said, you know, if you'd have finished the paragraph as you started, you'd have got a good grade, but I got a zero because I just threw a bunch of words in there. God never throws a bunch of words in there. Every word of God is pure. And everything's written for our instruction and for our admonition. Now, this is not going to be new to some of you if you've been around here for maybe 10 years or so, but I think if in the last 10 years, I don't know that I've taught on this, and I know I've never started here even when I taught on it, so this will be new to everybody as far as this. But here's what I want you to see. In 1 Chronicles chapter 1, notice verse number 1. Adam, Sheth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth. I want you to notice, if you would, that as 1 Chronicles begins, it begins with 10 generations of the human race. The first 10, Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. Stop right there. Those are all father, son, grandson, great-grandson, great-great-grandson, great-great-great-grandson. All right, it's going from one generation down to the next. for 10 generations. That's 1,400 years from Adam to Noah. From the creation of Adam in the garden till when Noah came around in Genesis chapter 6. That's 1,400 years. So those 10 generations went from Adam to Noah. I know that. Look, if you would, keep your place there. We'll be right back in exciting 1 Chronicles in just a moment. But look back at Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and I just want to point out these same 10 names, these same 10 generations. Genesis chapter 5, it says in verse 1, the book of the generations of Adam. All right, these are the generations of Adam. And it says in verse number 3, and Adam lived. Now, we're not going to read down through all this, so what I've done, I just circled the name Adam in my Bible. And Adam lived. There's the first generation. Then verse number 6, and Seth lived. All right, Adam's son. Of course, you know about Cain and Abel, and Cain slew Abel, then Cain was banished, and then God gave them Seth. So Adam to Seth. Then you go down to verse number 9, and you see Enos. Now, if you have time to look back at 1 Chronicles, you'll notice these are the same order and the same names. The spellings might be a little bit different, but that's because there was no set spellings back in those days sometimes. So, but you'll recognize it's the same list. So we've got three so far. We've got Adam, we've got Seth, we've got Enos. We go down to verse number 12, and we've got Canaan. All right, so that's the fourth generation from Adam. We've got Canaan there. And again, over in our 1 Chronicles list, it's spelled K-E-N-A-N, but it's the same fella. Then we get down to verse number 15, and there's Mahalalel, spelled the same way in both accounts, verse number 15. So we've got the fifth generation. And again, this is telling us how long they lived, how many children they had, different things like that, or that they beget sons and daughters. So after Mahalalel, we go down to verse number 18, and we find Jared. So this is now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth generation. We've got Jared in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 10. Then we go down to verse number 21 and we find the next one, Enoch. Now again, I know I'm skipping over a lot of information in there, but because that's not what I'm focusing on. We get down to verse 21 and we see Enoch, the seventh from Adam, it says in the book of Jude. And if you'll notice the list, it's Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, the seventh. All right, then we go down to verse 25 and we find Methuselah. Everybody knows who Methuselah is, right? The man, the longest living human being. 969 years. It's easy to remember. 969. 969 years. All right. That tells us that in verse 27. Then in verse 28, we find the ninth generation, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. So now we have Lamech. And then in verse 32, and Noah. So in Genesis chapter 5, we've got the same thing we've got in the first two verses of 1 Chronicles chapter 1. We've got the 10 generations from Adam down to Noah. All right, go back to 1 Chronicles. Keep your place there, but I want you to go to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. Here's what we've got from Adam to Noah. 1 Chronicles listed those 10 generations. Father, son, grandson, great-grandson, great-great-grandson, all the way down. So in 1 Chronicles, just 10 generations are named. Acts chapter 17, look what Paul said in verse number 26. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, talking about God in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and dwelleth not in temples made with hands, verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Notice the beginning of verse 26, He hath made of one blood all nations of men. All of us this evening go back to Adam. There is nobody that goes back to somebody other than Adam. There is no other race of people that inhabit the earth that God made before them. We all, no matter our skin color, no matter our language, no matter our shapes of our eyes, no matter what our physical features are, we all go back to Adam. Not only that, but now we go back to 1 Chronicles, we all go back to Seth. That was the second guy listed there. We all go back to him. And I don't want to drag this out, but we all go to the third guy. We all go back to Enos. We all go back to Canaan. We all go back to Mahalalel. We all go back to Jared, to Enoch, to Methuselah, to Lamech. We all go back to them because Noah came from them, and we all go back to Noah. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, the first three verses give us the different generations: Adam, Seth, Enoch, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. Those are the 10 generations, and we go back to those 10. But in verse number 4, something different happens in 1 Chronicles that he didn't do before. He gives us the sons of Noah, all three of his sons. You see, before that, it was just generations. Father to son to grandson to great-grandson to great-great-grandson. But in verse number 4, he switches things, and when he gets to Noah, he just doesn't go from Noah to Shem to Arphaxad, but he goes from Noah to Shem, Japheth, and Ham. There's a reason that happens. There's a lesson for us to observe. Now, wouldn't you know it? In 1 Chronicles, when you're reading through the list, you just read the names, and they're just names, and you just pronounce them, or you try to. I remember Jim White, the old evangelist. He was a hoot, and he could have been a stand-up comic as well as a preacher. And when he'd get to these names, he'd say, and this guy, and that guy, and the other guy, and whoever this is, and he didn't even try reading those names going through there. But when we're reading the names, if we're not paying attention, we don't realize Adam, next generation, Shep, next generation, Enoch, next generation, next. We get to Noah, now all of a sudden something different. All three sons are named. Not just the next generation and on to the next one. Because God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to show us something. So notice, if you would, verse 4, it stops with Noah, that 10th generation, and then gives us all three of his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, without reading through all this, because we already did, notice verse 5. The sons of Japheth. All right, now he stops. He didn't do this with the first 10 names, but now with these names, he stops and breaks each one down and tells us about their genealogies and their children. In verse number 5, it says, the sons of Japheth, and it begins to give us all the names, beginning in verse 5, 7 of his children, and then 7 of his grandchildren. Everybody wants to talk about their grandchildren. He's got 7 sons, but only two of them doesn't talk about their grandsons. That's because God doesn't give us every bit of information. He only gives us what we need. If God wanted to give us all our information, you realize how big the Bible would be? I'm thankful, as an avid Bible reader, I try to read through my Bible a couple times every year. I'm glad it's not a lot bigger than it is. 1,500 pages is plenty, thank you. And if God decided to write everything that he knew, we'd never get through it. So he has limited it to what he knows we need. And so in this, he tells us about the 7 sons of Japheth, and then only talks about 2 of them. Verse 6, the sons of Gomer, and it lists his 3 children. Then verse 7, and the sons of Jabin, and it lists his 4 children. So it tells us about Japheth. It gives us a little information. Then in verse number 8, it says, the sons of Ham. And then from verse 8 all the way down to verse number 16, it talks about Ham and his descendants and his genealogy and his sons and grandsons and great-grandsons. Now keep with me. There's a reason for all this. Then in verse 17, the sons of Shem. Elam and Asher, Arphaxad, Lud. In fact, if we were to go on, if you notice, we stopped in verse number 23. In verse 24, he goes back over them again with Shem. And this time he goes in generations instead of all the sons. Then in verse 29, he goes back to Abraham and starts all over again. And verse 32. So there's a whole lot of stuff here in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. But what I want you to notice is that when he's talking about the generations, all of a sudden he comes to a screeching stop and says, now let's talk about Noah for a minute. Let's not just jump past Noah to the next generations. Let me tell you about Noah's 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And then he says, here's the sons of Japheth. Here's the sons of Ham. Here's the sons of Shem. There's a lesson there for us. Here's what I want you to understand. We are all of one blood from Adam all the way down to Noah. The Bible said in Acts chapter 17, He's made us all one blood, one nation. People say this, how many races are there? There's only one race, the human race. And that's true, and that's very profound, you know, or whatever you want to call it. We're all of the same race. We all come from Adam. But when Noah came, all of a sudden something different happened. See, at that time, they were all living in an exclusive area. They had traveled not far from the Garden of Eden. They're over into the Holy Land, as we call it today. And they're all living there, and there's not much else going on. But with the sons of Noah and the flood, something drastic changed. And in the sons of Noah, now we have not just one nation and one blood, but we've got many nations. Look, if you would, back at Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. Don't lose 1 Chronicles. But go back to Genesis again. And look at chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. We're not going to take time to read it. It's all about the aftermath of the flood beginning in chapter 6, 7, and 8. And 9, they get off the ark. And look at chapter 9 and verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Verse 19. These are the three sons of Noah. Now notice this. And of them was the whole earth overspread. With the three sons of Noah, something happened that had never happened before. They were dispersed. They were sent out. Now we read about it, and I wish we had time to cross over. We read about it in Genesis chapter 11. You remember Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, and they're building it, trying to reach up into heaven. That's a very, very vital part of this story, but we don't have time to look at that this evening. But Genesis chapter 9 tells us that the whole world was populated. God moved out of that little area that humanity was in, the cradle of civilization, as historians called it. God moved out of there and sent mankind to scatter over all the earth. And that earth was populated by the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now folks ask this question, and this is what got me on this tonight. Where did the races come from? And I would challenge you to Google that and then see if you can keep sane as you read all the postulations and all the theories and all the ideas and all that. I'm thankful that the Bible simplifies what man tries to make complex. As I was studying this stuff the last couple days and looking up and researching different things and finding all these scientific, you know, here's what science says the races come from, and they talk about, you know, the things in the blood and the chromosomes and this and that. And I'm reading all that thinking, good night. This is confusing. I'm thankful the Bible is clear. You know what the Bible tells us? There are three races. And they came from Noah. That's why Chronicles stopped after the 10th generation and expanded on these. And Genesis tells us, of these three was the whole earth overspread. These three sons of Noah were assigned to go in different directions, and from them, we got the whole world civilization as we know it today. Let's go back to Adam. Back in Genesis chapter 2, God made Adam of the dust of the ground. You know what the word Adam means? It means red. He was made of the dirt. Adam was a dirty fella. He was made out of the dirt of the ground. Now, what color is dirt? Now, we're not in Kentucky, so we're not talking about the red clay, but what color is dirt? Dirt is kind of dirty. It's kind of a dirty brown, is it not? So Adam's natural color, made from the dirt of the ground, he would not blend in with us here right now. He would look physically different in color than you and I are. He would be darker complected than you and I are. Adam was not white. Jesus, can I say this, was not white. Jesus was Jewish. He's from this line that we're going to see in just a minute. And he was like Adam. He was from the dirt of the ground. He's from that line of Adam through David and all that. And Jesus was of that same color. And from Adam all the way to Noah, everybody was the same color. There were no different races. Different eye shapes, different flat noses or sticky noses or big lips or small lips or big ears or lips. There was none of that stuff. From Adam to Noah, everybody basically was the same color and the same. The reason I say that is because you'll often see, if you get to pictures of, John just showed me, he didn't know what I was preaching tonight, and I told him something, and he showed me a picture that he just saw last week of Noah and his three sons and their three wives in the ark. And one of the wives was black. One of them was Latino. One of them was white, you know, and all that. And they were all the same, they were all the same race up until Noah. And what happens with his three sons doesn't happen before they're born and doesn't happen on the ark. It happens after they disperse. After God sends them in three different directions. So from Adam to Noah, one language, one skin color. Everything was hunky-dory. Everything was fine. And yet after the flood, something different happens. Notice when we get to Genesis chapter 10, we read what we read later in 1 Chronicles. It says in Genesis 10, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood." So this is when Noah and his sons and daughters get off the boat. It says, "The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, Madai and Javan, and Tubal and Meshech and Tirus." All right, same thing as we're seeing over in Chronicles. "And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz and Rephath and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim and Dodanim." Notice verse 5. "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations." After the flood, God sent the three sons of Noah in different directions to populate and form different nations. Before the flood, there were no nations. Everybody lived in the cradle of civilization. After the flood, God dispersed man. Now again, try not to get ahead of ourselves. I believe that Genesis chapter 11, in our Bible, it comes after Genesis chapter 10, but the story should be put into the middle of chapter 10. And it's the reason that God disperses all these people. Go to chapter 11 real quickly. "And the whole earth was of one language." All right, we just read in chapter 10 in verse number 5, "everyone after his own tongue." So in Genesis 10, 5, God is dispersing them into different languages. In Genesis 11, they're all one language. So if we could pick that up and put it in here before the story is told in Genesis chapter 10, we'd realize that this happened in there. "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The purpose of building this Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 is because God told them to scatter and they didn't want to scatter. God said, "I want to make you of different tongues and different nations." And they said, "No, we're not going to do it. We're going to stay right here. We're going to build us a tower that reaches up to heaven. God, we're going to get up there and pull you down, and we're going to sit up there. We're not going to scatter. We're going to stay right here." What will God do? How will He deal with the rebellion of such intellectual people? My, oh my, what kind of plans is He going to come up with? Well, it simply says this in verse number 5, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded." Now you understand the figurative language of the Bible. God didn't have to come down from heaven to see it. He saw it already. But the Bible is just telling us that He looked down upon what they were doing, verse 6, and said, "Behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." If they think they can overthrow God and usurp God, they'll think they can do anything. So God decides, I've got to do something about this. Verse 7, "Go to." Now I like this because you see in verse 3,
They said one to another, go to, let us make brick. Verse 4, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. So God says in verse 7, go to, let us go down. Now who's He talking to? Well, that's the Father talking to the Son and the Holy Ghost. All right? Who else has God got to talk to up in heaven? The angels don't do anything with Him. So He's talking to the three persons of the Godhead. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from the fence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. What's that baby doing? Babbling. Just no words. That's where we get that phrase from, Genesis chapter 11. Because God came down to those workers that were building the tower going up to heaven, and He confounded their languages so they couldn't communicate with it. See how simple it was for God to get them to stop? He could have just sent a lightning bolt and destroyed the tower and done it every time they rebuild it. But he had a little fun with them? And He gave them all different languages so they couldn't communicate with each other. So now they had to scatter, and they scattered according to their languages. They all went different directions because they're going to go with the people that they can understand, not the ones they can't. So God scatters them. So now we go back to Genesis 10, verse 5, and see by here. These sons of Japheth, by them were the isles of the Gentiles divided in the lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. When God scattered them, they grouped together according to their tongue. And because they could all communicate, they became families. And those families became nations. Now these are the sons of Japheth. He's the eldest, so that's why it's given to us first in Genesis 10, verse 2. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog. If you've studied Bible prophecy, when you get to Jeremiah or Ezekiel, you find out that these names all are representative of different countries. Gomer, when you get into studying those other things, Gomer is basically the country of Germany. Magog is the country of Russia. Now we can't identify every single Madai. We can't identify all of these, but what people, the students of the Bible believe is what we're looking at here is all the European nations. Greece, Russia, Germany, Spain. These are all come of these descendants of Japheth. And so Japheth and his families all are speaking the same language. And so they migrate north by northwest. Sounds like a Cary Grant movie. They go north. I like Cary Grant. They go north by northwest. And from that spot in Turkey where Mount Ararat we know was located, the sons of Japheth begin to take their families and they head west. Go west, young man. They began to head west and take all those families with them. And if you look west from Turkey, you know what you got? You got Russia. You've got the European countries. They get to the Isles of England, Ireland, Scotland. And they go a little farther eventually and get to the Americas. But all those, it says in verse number 11, I'm in Genesis 9, it says in verse number 5, by them were the isles of the Gentiles divided. As they crossed over into those different places, now as they went west, here's all the Gentile races, they're of Japheth. I don't know how this happens, but Japheth and his descendants change color. They go from that dirt brown color of their father Noah, and they become very white, light-complected. They go into Germany, they go into Spain. Now there's variations of skin color, variations of hair texture, things like that. But basically all of them migrate that one direction, and from there you understand they begin to break off and go different things then. And I don't know, and this is what's interesting in reading, they'll tell us that these sons of Japheth went north by northwest, or no, west. They went west by northwest. And when they went that direction, because of the coolness of the climate, their skin began to change. Now, I can't prove this from the Bible, but I kind of think that God didn't have to wait for the climate to make their skin change. That God was able on their journey to give them what they needed to adapt to the place that they were going to go. See, the evolutionary process tells us that they slowly, over generations, their pigments changed to adapt to where they were living. Well, if that was true, if you moved to Africa now and stayed down there, your skin color would turn to black, but it doesn't. You might get tan, or like Bill, you'll get really red when you get out in the sun, but you're not going to change color. So I don't think that really works. I think God did something supernaturally, and the sons of Japheth, when they went west and northwest into that region of Russia and Siberia, and then down into Poland and Germany and all those European countries, and over to England and Ireland, Scotland, that God made them, created them as they made their journey to give them the skin color that they needed to get there. So we've got the sons of Japheth, and they go west and northwest and inhabit, to make it simple, the European countries. All right, look at Genesis chapter 10. Down at verse 6. And the sons of Ham. Where did our time go? Goodness. Verse 6. And the sons of Ham. I know, we were reading 1 Chronicles. That's where it went. Genesis 10, verse 6. And the sons of Ham. Cush. You know what Cush means? The word Cush is 50 sometimes in the Bible. And the word means black. Ham means hot. Cush means black. And if we had time to go through the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Sapta, Rama, Zepta, Raymond, we had the Caucasian race going west. Now we've got these people that went south. From where the ark landed, these people, by their languages, all headed south. And they went from Egypt to Ethiopia. And some of the names, again, that are in these lists, as Cush and all that, some of them are recognizable as being the country of Libya, other African countries. But the sons of Ham, these are the ones that went down south, and as you know, their skin color is black. And the Ethiopian changes skin, is what Jeremiah said. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? All right, the African countries are populated by black people. Now, there's different degrees of blackness. The Micronesian islands where we served as missionaries, they're darker skinned. Josh, they're darker skinned people, but some of them were lighter than others, but basically, they're dark skinned people. Alright? That's the sons of Ham that went down that direction. And the interesting thing, both here in Genesis and especially over there in 1 Chronicles, look back at 1 Chronicles chapter 1. And verse 8 was the sons of Ham, again, Cush and Mizraim Foot. But go down to verse 12, the sons of Ham and Pathurim and Casdim, of whom came the Philistines. The Philistines came from Ham. Remember Goliath, 9'6"? That was a big black guy. I don't say that in a racist tone. I say that in a factual tone. The Philistines were of the line of Ham. So it's interesting when we read about the Philistines to understand that where the line they came from. That's why the Philistines were always fighting the next guy we're going to look at, the seed of Shem, because they were from different genealogies. All right? So the Philistines of Kaphtorim, verse 13, and Canaan begat Zidon, the firstborn. Then notice verse 14. All these again come from Ham. The Jebusite, the Amorite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. When you're reading through 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 7 Kings, and all these people Israel keeps warring with, you understand. They're from a different genealogy, a different line. And it wasn't the racial divide, it was the religious divide between them. Because the sons of Ham did not want the God of Shem. It was Shem that was blessed with their God. So, go back. So again, when you see 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, read all these different people that are there, we understand the animosity that's back there recorded in the historical books of the Old Testament. So go back to Genesis 10. And jump down, if you would, to verse number 21. And unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder. Japheth was the oldest. Even to him were children born, the children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, the children of Aram, and Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Marsh. All right, these are the ones that went east from the ark. And if you go east from Turkey, you know where you're at? You're in Asia. Asia Minor, Israel, Syria, Jordan, Japan, China, North and South Korea. These are the people that came from Shem. So you've got Japheth going west, you've got Shem going east, you've got Ham going south, and as they went all different directions, they began to form their nations according to their tongues. Look back, if you would, at Genesis chapter 9. Look at verse 19 as we read it already. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Alright? One went one direction, one went the other, one went the third direction, and God put them all in their countries, and they were all blessed, and they were all in the place that God set them up to be in. Look at one more verse, if you would. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. All right, this is God giving those three sons of Noah the land that He gave to them. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, which is a reference to the sons of Noah, if you understand the terminology, He set the bounds of their people according to the number of the children of Israel. When God sent the sons of Japheth in one direction, He sent them to a land that He gave them for an inheritance. When He sent the sons of Shem in a certain direction, He gave them the inheritance. When He sent the sons of Ham, He sent them in a certain direction, and He gave them their land. That's their inheritance. That's their place. Now in Acts 26, it says, and it said it again in Deuteronomy, they set up the bounds of their habitation. When God originally dispersed the races, He dispersed them and put them all in the place that He thought they would prosper, the place that they would be blessed in the place. Now man, just like, we go back to Genesis 11 and we see Nimrod and the people building a tower up to heaven and saying, oh, look at them, challenging God. Look at them, going in the face of God. Look at them. We've done the same thing. We have destroyed the bounds of their habitation. God sent Japheth, the Caucasians, this way. He sent Ham and the Negro race that way. He sent Shem, the Oriental, that direction, and He said, now there you go, there's your land, be blessed in it. And to a big extent, we have stayed within the boundaries of that. Now you know in our freedom of travel, and ever since we've moved from one place to another, that I don't think that's a big deal, I don't think it's a violation of anything, I think it just shows that we, just like those in Genesis 11, we're just saying, God, I'm not going to stay where You put me. I mean, look at us. Where do we belong? All right? America wasn't given to Japheth. America was given to Shem. And the American Indian was a descendant of Shem. And yet the white people came over and we took it. Are you saying we should give it back? No, no way. We're not giving it back. But I'm just saying we have challenged God in the directions that He put us. We can't rewind the tape. We can't go back. We can't do it over. But this, I believe, gives us an understanding of the world's situation and how it is and why it is the way it is. Now again, I'm not by any means, I'm a limey. How many of you know what a limey is? Yeah, see, you're so politically correct. A limey is an Englishman. That's the slang term for it. I won't use the slang for other ones because you might be offended. I'm not offended, all right? My grandfather came over from England in 1916. My whole ancestry is from England. I'm not for loading us up in a boat and sending us back to England. I have no desire to go back there. So you understand? I'm just saying here's how God set it up and divided it and put us in these nations, and God knew what He was doing when He did it. And He set up the bounds for their habitation. But there are three races. Now, you go on Google and they'll tell you there's four. And the amazing thing is, they basically tell you the same three I give you, but for some reason, the Aborigines of Australia are a fourth race. And I don't know why they're a fourth race and they get a special title for them and all that. But there's basically the three. Now again, the terminology for the three and where they put China and Japan, some of them put them with Ham instead of with Shem, and I think that's not correct. So these things I'm giving, this is great Bible stuff. And it gives us information, but this is not stuff that's doctrinally dependent. You can't go back to these things and says, if you don't agree with this, if you don't believe this, you don't believe the Bible. This isn't the deity of Christ. This isn't the resurrection. This isn't the second coming. But it does explain to us where the races came from. The Bible has those answers. We just go to science and go to technology and go to everything else instead of going back to the Bible to find out. By them was the whole earth overspread. Don't you think that's interesting? That the Bible tells us where the races came from. All right, I did this last week, but our time's already gone. Anybody have a question about that? I load all that stuff on you. You hear it, just dump it on you. And then say, yeah. Isn't that just like I go to my therapy and they work me out for an hour and 45 minutes and say, how do you feel? Well, give me an hour till I recover and I'll let you know how. I can't answer it right then. How many of you always said when you got in a discussion, an hour later you say, I wish I'd have said that. Well, that's what happens in something like this. I unload all this stuff on you, and an hour from now you say, I wish I'd have asked him about. But you don't get an hour, because we're not going to wait around that long. What do you got, Matt? You don't understand it? Go home and let Mom tell you about it, all right? And I understand. We went fast, but basically there's three races. And we could say it this way, white, black, and yellow. But yellow covers red and some other things like that. But there's three races that God created and gave us our languages. I believe that we ought to be proud of our heritage. I think we ought to be proud of our nationality. I'm not English, I'm American. But I think we ought to be proud of those things. God gave us our nations the way that we are. That Genesis 10, I didn't say this, but Genesis 10 is called in theology the Table of Nations. And there's actually 70 of them listed in Genesis chapter 10. 70 of Gomer, Magog, you know, Arphaxad, all those that all represent different nations. So there's 70 nations represented there, which obviously we didn't have time to go through all that tonight either. All right, anybody else? All right, there'll be a quiz. Let's all stand together this evening. Let's stand together. We'll just be dismissed in prayer. We'll not sing a song, Brother Gary, tonight. But and I